Amen. Thank you, Brother Bierman. What a blessing. Let's take our Bibles tonight. We'll go to Habakkuk chapter number 1. Habakkuk chapter 1, and we will go to just if you need to know how to get to there, if you'll go to the book of Matthew and turn back a little bit, you will find the book of Habakkuk. A few weeks ago, we began a series, and I think this is the third message in the book of Habakkuk. Last time that I spoke out of this, I spoke to you about when God doesn't always give the answer. And sometimes we don't have the answer. We don't know often what the Lord is doing. And God does not have to give us all the answers. But as we come to Habakkuk chapter number 1, I want to remind you that Habakkuk the prophet, God has spoken to him. God has dealt with him that judgment is coming upon the people. Judgment is coming. There's nothing he can do about it. These people are spiritually bankrupt, and yet God is still going to do a work. And tonight I want to preach on this subject. Remember, God is at work. You know, there's sometimes when it almost appears as if God is not at work. But I want you to be assured tonight, God is still at work. He's still at work. You know, I love springtime because I love to see growth. How many's already started to see some of the trees bud and things like that? And yes, they had snow on them this afternoon, all right? But, you know, during the wintertime, it's easy to almost be like, boy, nothing is growing. Oh, but it is growing. You just cannot see it. The roots are deepening. Work is being done. You just can't see it. And be assured tonight, in your life, in the lives of your loved ones, in the life of our church, there is an Almighty God who sees what we cannot see, and that God is at work. I think there's times when all of us can think, God, what are you doing? And are you doing anything? Yes, He is at work. Tonight, let's rest in His work, and let's remember God is at work. We come to Habakkuk chapter number 1. And let us read the first 11 verses together as we come to this great passage of Scripture. Habakkuk chapter number 1. The Bible says, "The burden which Habakkuk the prophet did see. O Lord, how long shall I cry, and Thou wilt not hear? Even cry out unto Thee of violence, and Thou wilt not save. Why dost Thou show me iniquity, and cause me to behold grievance? For spoiling and violence are before me, and there are that raise up strife and contention. Therefore the law is slacked, and judgment doth never go forth. For the wicked doth compass about the righteous. Therefore wrong judgment proceedeth. Behold ye among the heathen, and regard and wonder marvelously." Look at this. "For I will work a work in your days which you will not believe, though it be told you. For lo, I raise up the Chaldeans, that bitter and hasty nation, which shall march through the breadth of the land to possess the dwelling places that are not theirs. They are terrible and dreadful. Their judgment and their dignity shall proceed of themselves. Their horses also are swifter than the leopards, and are more fierce than the evening wolves, and their horsemen shall spread themselves, and their horsemen shall come from far. They shall fly as the eagle that hasteth to eat. They shall come all for violence. Their faces shall sup up as the east wind, and they shall gather the captivity as the sand. And they shall scoff at the kings, and the princes shall be a scorn unto them. They shall deride every stronghold, for they shall heap dust and take it. Then shall his mind change, and he shall pass over and offend, imputing that his power unto his God." Notice back in verse number 5. Now, I think it's very interesting. Here is Habakkuk. He knows what is coming. God is going to send the Chaldeans, and he is going to use a wicked people to judge His own people. They have turned against God. They have worshiped idols. They have been careless and casual, and they are not seeking after the Lord. So God, in His mercy and in His love, and by the way, He has sent prophet upon prophet. He has been patient. He has been long-suffering until finally they will not turn back to Him. So God sends the Chaldeans. Now I want you to think about Habakkuk. He loves his people, the Jewish people. He cares for the city of Judah. His burden is for God to do something, and he is praying for God to do something. And guess what God does? Verse number 5. Behold ye among the heathen. God says, Habakkuk, I'm going to do a work. Look at the heathen. Behold ye among the heathen, and regard and wonder marvelously, for I will work a work in your days which ye will not believe, though it be told you. Now here in the book of Habakkuk, we have a prophet who is speaking to God. And I believe if you look in verse number 1 and 2 and 3 and 4, there's silence. Habakkuk is talking. He is praying to God. There is silence. And then God breaks through the silence and he speaks. And he says, Habakkuk, I will work a work. In fact, God is already working a work in the midst of his people, and he is reminding Habakkuk that he will do his work. Folks, it looked to Habakkuk that the wicked were winning. It looked as if there was no good that could come out all of this. And brethren, can I simply tell you tonight, no matter what is going on in your life, maybe there seems to be a dearth spiritually. Maybe there seems to be a time when you are praying and it doesn't seem that God is hearing your prayer. Please know and remember that God is at work. In fact, in the midst of the problem, in the midst of the confusion, God was still working. And God was doing His work. In fact, there is a promise that God, this is a promise in verse number 5, that God will work a work. And brethren, the promise is to me and you today. It is for us tonight that God is still doing a work. In fact, I think that it was an unlikely situation that God was going to work. I think it was an unlikely time that God was going to work. You know what we often think? We think, okay, this needs to be in place, and this needs to be in place, and this needs to be in place, and then God can work. But that's not how God does His work. You see, God does His work in His own way, in His own timing, and according to His own plan. In fact, it may be that God is working in the most unlikely place and in the most unlikely way, and yet God is still at work. Amen. If you study the great revivals that have taken place, and if you could go to where the revival started, you know what you would almost say? Here? This is the place? This is a very unlikely place, because often we think God has to work on some grand scheme. We think that God has to work in our way. But brethren, His ways are not our ways. And yet God is at work. In fact, in verse number 5, Habakkuk is saying, Lord, it's your people. It's your chosen people, the Jewish nation. They have a need. How are you going to bring these people back to yourself? And the Lord answered him and said, behold ye among the heathen. Habakkuk, look at the heathen. And I'm sure Habakkuk thought, Lord, this is not the way. This is not the plan. In fact, maybe he thought, Lord, I don't understand. I don't know what you are doing. And I want you to do a work. I want you to work in the lives of people. But God declared to Habakkuk that he was going to begin a work in a most unlikely time and place for the lives of his people. In fact, Philippians chapter 1 and verse number 9 is a great promise for all of us, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Now, I have a question for you I want you to think about. When did God begin the good work in your life? Now, some people may say salvation. There's no doubt that God began a work and a continual work. But brethren, God was seeking after you before you came to know Jesus Christ as your Savior. God began His work in us. He has always begun His work. Brethren, before even you were created, God was doing a work in your life. He was bringing things into place. In fact, in the book of Jeremiah, what did God tell Jeremiah the prophet? He said, "For I know the thoughts that I think towards you. Thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end." God says, "I'm doing a work and I have a plan, and it's a good plan." And by the way, all of God's plans are the right plans. Here, Habakkuk, no doubt, is wanting God to work. And brethren, you know, sometimes we may look at someone's life and we may think, how could God do anything in their life? But God is at work. You know, on Friday when we took the teenagers to the big kind of youth rally, they had about 140 teenagers there at this youth rally at Troy Baptist Church, and we were invited to come, and we just had a great time, and it was good to be there. But you know, I sat there, and I looked at all those teenagers during the preaching service, and I thought, I wonder what God wants to do in the lives of these kids. Well, I can tell you something. He wants to do a work in every one of their lives. He's at work. He's working right now. And parents, God's at work in your children. And God's at work in your marriage. And God is at work in our church. And we may not see it and behold it, but I promise you, God is at work. Now, I want you to notice some simple thoughts tonight about, remember, God is at work. Number one, I want you to see the carelessness of God's people. The carelessness of God's people. Now look back in verse number 5. "Behold ye among the heathen, and regard and wonder marvelously, for I will work a work in your days." But look at this phrase, "which ye will not believe, though it be told you." God is saying, I'm going to share it with you, but when I share it with you, you're not going to believe it. You're not going to believe the work. Brethren, I believe one of our greatest needs for the children of God today, I'm talking about Christians, is for Christians to live like a Christian. You know, in fact, it's sad today that many Christians don't live like a Christian. They don't act like Christians. They do not speak like Christians. They do not go where Christians should go. By the way, can I tell you something? The heathen know what a Christian should be like. You can ask them. They know. They know certain things about a Christian. It's almost as seemingly today that Christians are caving in and almost clouding everything in their life. You know, I grew up being taught from God's Word about alcohol, that alcohol was sin, it was wrong. But today, it's almost like Christians are caving into that, and it's okay as long as you don't get drunk. Can I tell you something? It is still sin in the eyes of Almighty God. In fact, it's almost as if today there is a morality among God's people to where they just give in to that. It's okay. We're Christians. But Christians are to live like Christians. There is a holiness that God expects of His people, that we should be separated from the world unto the Lord. But there should be a Christ-like spirit about us. But our life should be identified with Jesus Christ. But here we find the carelessness of God's people. And brethren, if we are saved, we need to live like saved people. Yes, we need to be compassionate. Yes, we need to be caring. But we ought to be like Christians. I think the greatest need in our churches today is for Christians to behave like Christians. In fact, I have had many people tell me, and I'm not talking about our church, but I've had many people tell me before that it's almost as if God's people treat them worse than the people of the world. That's a sad statement, is it not? That God's people are not kind. God's people are not loving. God's people are not Christ-like. God's people are not filled with the Spirit. They operate in the flesh. They live fleshly lives. And that is the carelessness of God's people. Can I tell you something? That's why we don't have revival in America. That's why we are suffering today. God's people that have no concern for the lost, no concern to tell others about Jesus Christ, there is a carelessness. And this carelessness that has deepened among God's people is alarming today. And it should be that we don't look at others and notice their lack of faithfulness and their carelessness, but we should look at ourselves and say, God, where is their carelessness in my own life? By the way, brethren, God has dealt with me at times of my own carelessness about His Word and my carelessness about prayer and my carelessness about maybe in having a desire to reach the lost. We can all develop a carelessness. And we find in the book of Habakkuk, that's exactly what happened. In fact, here we find that Habakkuk the prophet, he is dealing, he has watched the carelessness of God's people. In fact, let's go in our Bibles to a New Testament passage that actually deals with this. Acts chapter number 13, if you would please. Acts chapter 13, and I want you to notice tonight, here, in fact, hundreds of years after God gave this message to Habakkuk, the Apostle Paul literally used a verse from one of Habakkuk's passages in his message to God's people. And look in Acts chapter number 13, and let's look in verse number 40, if you would please. Acts chapter number 13 and verse number 40. Now here we find Paul was declaring to the people what God was going to do. God was going to do a work. But look what it says in verse number 40 of Acts chapter 13. He said, "Beware, therefore, lest that come upon you, which is spoken of in the prophets. Behold, ye despisers, and wonder and perish. For I work a work in your days, a work which ye shall in no wise believe, though a man declare it unto you." Here is the Apostle Paul. He is using the very words of Habakkuk. And you know what he is saying to the church there in the church in the book of Acts? He is saying, I want you to be careful. Beware, because you are going to, if you're not careful, you will live such a careless Christian life that you will forget that God can do all things. In fact, do you know that there is a sense of carelessness, and carelessness has to do with our lack of faith. It has to do with our unbelief. And we can almost get to the place to where we just think God's finished. God's not going to do anything else. And we've seen the blessings of the Lord, but we cannot see His blessings now. Brethren, God still wants to do a work. I just want to be one of those that says, Lord, do your work, and I surrender to whatever you want to do. God is still at work. Brethren, He is still the God of the impossible tonight. Do you believe that God is the God of the impossible? Well, the Bible says He is. He is still the God that can hear and answer prayer. He is still the God that can change lives. He can work miracles. He can save to the uttermost. God is still at work. In fact, brethren, God can take people who care nothing about His work or the church, and He can literally turn their lives around. But if we are not careful, we begin to doubt God and what God can do. In fact, God told Habakkuk, I will work a work. I will do a work in your days, but you're not going to believe it. You're not going to believe that I can do the work. In fact, sometimes it seems as if things are beyond the work of God. But wait a minute. He is still at work. Let's remember that God is at work. And brethren, if we are not careful, let us beware tonight that there is not a carelessness about our Christian life, that there is not a carelessness about our prayer life and about our desire to follow Jesus Christ. There is often a carelessness about our faith in God. It is really a refusal to believe that God is able to do all things. And we must guard against this spirit of carelessness and this spirit of unbelief. You know, tonight, when there is revival that happens to us personally, can I tell you what will happen? We will not be careless about the things of God. We just won't be careless. Brother, I don't know about you, but when I got saved, can I tell you something? I got, if you want to call it, on fire for the Lord. And can I tell you what that meant? That meant that His Word, I needed the Word of God. You didn't have to tell me to read God's Word. I wanted to read God's Word. The time in prayer, you didn't have to ask me to pray. I wanted to pray. You didn't have to ask me to go to church. You didn't have to beg me to come to church. I wanted to go to church. I wanted to be when the church doors were open. I wanted to be there because I wanted to hear from God. But it's almost as if we have developed a carelessness among God's people today. That I guess it doesn't matter. Folks, I don't know about you, but I'm scared to miss when God can speak to my heart. I want to be there to hear it. But I will tell you this, there's times in life when God has stirred my heart and there's been a revival personally. Can I tell you what revival brings? It brings an intensity and a fervency to our Christian life. In fact, what does the Bible say about our prayer life? It's the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man that availeth much. The carelessness of God's people. Number two, I want you to notice the cruelty of those that do not know the Lord. Now, let's go to verse number 6 of Habakkuk chapter number 1, because I want you to see this. Notice what he says here about the Chaldeans. He says, "For lo, I will raise up the Chaldeans, that bitter and hasty nation, which shall march through the breadth of the land to possess the dwelling places that are not theirs." God gave a description here of the Babylonians coming down upon Judah. And you know what Habakkuk wants? He wants judgment upon them. And yet God is using them to bring judgment upon His own people. Most people have the ideal that someday God is going to bring judgment in one final sweeping blow. And that's how God is going to work. But brethren, judgment is also progressive. If you are afraid that one of these days our nation is going to be judged, I want you to remember something. We are being judged right now. There's no doubt about that. There's no doubt. The judgment of God is sure. We reap what we sow. And by the way, do you know that every Christian here tonight, you are sowing things in your life that you're going to reap one day. You're sowing things right now. Brethren, if you sow an unforgiving, bitter spirit, you're going to reap that. You're going to reap it. If you sow allowing things into your eye gate and your ear gate that are not pleasing to Christ, I'm sorry, you're going to reap that one day. If you sow a critical spirit, you're going to reap that one day. If you sow that discord in your home and your family, you're going to reap that. And let me tell you something, your children are going to reap that too. They're going to suffer the consequences of your lack of unity and Christ-like spirit in the home. Brethren, we're sowing every day, and there is a reaping time coming. And tonight, we need to understand that we may sow something now, and we won't reap it for months to come. You see, the farmers soon, they're going to be sowing a lot. But it's going to take months to reap. It's going to take months to reap. And by the way, we do not necessarily reap in the same season that we sow. You see, and by the way, you know the Bible says you sow to the wind. What do you reap? The whirlwind. We always reap more than what we sow. And I believe that there are specific judgments spoken of in God's Word that are not necessarily being addressed in this context. There are judgments, and here God is obviously judging His people. Let's read on in verse number 7. It says, "They are terrible and dreadful. Their judgment and their dignity shall proceed of themselves. Their horses also are swifter than the leopards and are more fierce than the evening wolves. And their horsemen shall spread themselves and their horsemen shall come from far. They shall fly as an eagle that hasteth thee." Look in verse 9. "They shall come all for violence." By the way, here are these Babylonians. They're violent people. By the way, think about how unbelief dishonors the true and living God. And by the way, the Bible even tells us that in verse number 11, "Then shall his mind change, and he shall pass over and offend, imputing this power unto his God." You know what the Babylonians are going to do? They're going to come down upon the people of God, and they're going to consume them, and they're going to give praise to their God. And brethren, let me tell you something. When God's people do not live as God would have them to live, and when God's people do not honor the Lord, can I tell you what we do? In many ways, we give glory to the God of this world. We really do. I think often, you remember when David sinned against God and David took another man's wife and he had another man put to death because of it? Do you know that the prophet said, in a sense, that you have given the enemies of God a reason to glory? You've given a reason for them to glory. That now they say, yes, look at those Christians. Look at David, the man after God's own heart. And brethren, when you and I do not live as Christ would have us to live, then in a sense, we do exactly what the Babylonians do. We give them an opportunity to glory the God of this world. Brethren, these cruel Babylonians were just instruments of God's judgment upon His own people. Number three, and I want you to notice this in closing, the compassion of our Lord. Now, brethren, remember, God is at work. We must never forget that our God is a God of compassion. One of the things I believe yet do not yet understand is that no man can go so low in his life that God does not continue to love him and that God would not be able to save him. You know, brethren, I say sometimes we see, and I'm sure you hear the stories of people who have done wicked things to innocent people. I don't know about you, but it just builds up a fire in me. And you know what we want? We want judgment. And do they deserve judgment? Yes. But it's very hard to even understand the compassion of God. Can I tell you, even the most wicked, vile man or woman that is on the streets tonight or that is in prison tonight, there is a God in heaven who loves that individual. And His compassion towards them is unlike anything that we could ever imagine. In fact, brethren, God doesn't love you and me because we're sitting in a church tonight and they're sitting in a prison tonight. God doesn't love us more than He loves them. Because His love is a perfect love. In fact, the Bible says that God is not willing that any should what? Perish. God's not willing. You know what God's will is that all men come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. That's the will of God. In fact, no boy can be such a rebel. No daughter such a disappointment. No daddy such a vile human being. No mother such a godless woman. No human being can get so far from the Lord that God does not love them and have compassion upon them. You know, when we read a passage like this, we look and we think, Lord, I don't understand. You sent the Babylonians, these cruel, wicked, violent people, and they're going to give praise to their God. And yet, in the midst of all that, God is still at work. Brethren, I want us to be comforted tonight. And I want us to have our eyes on Jesus Christ tonight and believe by faith that there is a God in heaven who is at work in our lives. He's at work in our church. He's at work in your family. He is still doing a work. And brethren, I just want in on what God is doing. I said recently, and maybe it was here or somewhere else where I was preaching, I believe God can still bring revival. How many tonight believe that God can still bring revival to our country? Would you lift your hand, hold it by? I believe that. But can I just tell you, I want in on it. I just want to be a part of it. Lord, let me be a part of it. I remember as a kid that we used to go outside and play and recess. Man, I lived for recess and lunch, you know. I mean, that was it, you know. But we'd go outside and, you know, we'd break up in teams and, you know, and I wasn't the strongest. I was always the smallest, shortest, all that, you know. And, well, I remember they were picking teams. I was like, man, pick me, you know. You remember being there? You want to be picked, man. You want to be a part of it, you know. Sometimes usually I'm the last one, like, okay, you can have Aaron. You know, it's like, great, thanks a lot, you know. You know how that is. But go, folks, can I tell you something? God wants to use each and every one of us tonight. God has a purpose for your life. He is at work. And brethren, tonight, it encourages me to know. This morning I talked about that Jesus is praying for us. And can I tell you, the very evidence that He's praying for us, meaning that He is at work in our life. In fact, have you ever wondered tonight, if God knew your problems? Has there ever been a time when you lay awake at night because you're so overcome by your troubles? You may have even said, Lord, don't You know where I'm at? Don't You know what I'm going through? Don't you care what is happening to me? But brethren, I believe tonight there is a God in heaven who wants to send us a message through the book of Habakkuk. And I believe God wants to say to us, remember, children, I am at work. I am doing a work. You may not see it right now, but I am doing a work. And in the midst of the confusion, in the midst of the disappointment, in the midst of the uncertainty, there is a God who is at work. In fact, brethren, how can God continue to work in our life? Can I tell you? Because He loves you and me. Because He cares for you and me. Brethren, let us trust in this God tonight who is at work. Let us believe that God is doing a work. You know, so often, I think of the book of Ecclesiastes, for time's sake, we will not turn there. You know, you see a lady who is expecting a baby. You cannot see the growth of that little child. You can't see it. Not with your eyes. But you just believe it's working. You believe that little baby is growing and developing. And you believe that soon the baby will come into this world and a beautiful little child. And brethren, there is a God in heaven. His work is sure. Sometimes it seems slow. But I can assure you tonight, there is a God in heaven who is working. Let us depend upon Him. Let us trust in Him tonight. And maybe tonight you have developed a spirit of disbelief. Maybe you've developed a spirit that almost a carelessness. Just giving up. Brethren, God is at work. Let us remember tonight. And let us wait on Him. And let us trust in Him. Let's bow our heads in prayer tonight. Our Heavenly Father, thank You that You are at work. But Lord, tonight, sometimes we doubt Your work. Sometimes we wonder if You really are at work. Lord, I don't know. Maybe there's folks here tonight that have loved ones that are lost, and maybe they wonder if You are at work. Maybe there's difficult situations here tonight, and Lord, I'm sure there's folks here tonight that maybe have doubted Your work. May we believe in Thy work. May we be confident that You are doing a work. Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. How many would say tonight, preacher, there's something in my life right now that I have really doubted that God is at work. Would you pray for me tonight? Would you lift your hand and hold it high? That's me, Pastor. I've almost doubted that God is at work. I appreciate your honesty. How many tonight would say, preacher, God has dealt with me this evening about my own carelessness. Would you pray for me? Would you lift your hand? That's me, Pastor. God has spoken to me. Amen. And how many tonight desire God to do His work in your life, maybe the life of your family, and even the life of our church? If that's you, would you lift your hand? Pastor, that's what I desire. Amen. Let's stand together tonight, would you please? And let's do business with the Lord tonight. If God has spoken to you, we're just going to have the piano play this evening. The Lord has dealt with you. Would you find a place to pray and seek God? Father, bless this invitation as we come before You. Lord, we're reminded tonight that You're at work. Lord, we want Your work to be done. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The piano begins to